Good morning, Northern Michigan. Welcome to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne is live in studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. And, gentlemen, an amazing night last night for the Detroit Pistons. And, you know, Keith, I was listening to you with J-Bo yesterday, and you mentioned before the draft that this could be transformative, that you think the Pistons are the closest to returning to glory, and they certainly took a huge step that way.
My goodness. You know, Detroit hijacked the whole night, didn't it? Didn't they? I mean, the grades they're getting across the country today, you know, who won the draft, the big winners and big losers. Detroit is universally one of the biggest winners of the night.
Exactly. And Keith, a lot of the prognosticators had Jaden Ivey as the most talented basketball player coming into this draft.
Yeah.
He fell to 5 to Detroit. Hallelujah. Oh, my gosh. To match him with Cade Cunningham, two guys that play different styles but really are going to be a fun match on the basketball court.
And no question about it. Like I was telling J-Bo yesterday, it's time to get excited about this team. This is before last night's draft.
Right.
You know, and I truly believe, based on what I've seen the last couple of years now with what Troy Weaver's doing, the moves he's made and so on, and where the other teams are, the Pistons might be the closest to a long playoff run of any of the four teams that we have in Detroit right now.
I don't even think it's close unless the Red Wings hit something amazing here.
The Red Wings are making progress, but they're not close. The Tigers obviously are not close.
If you saw the explosion of texts, Instagrams,
right,
all the social media,
yep,
Rod Beard, just everybody. I can't wait to see the next week or so what happens to Piston season ticket sales.
Oh, yes.
No doubt about it. I'm excited to watch Summer League basketball with the new guys, with Ivy, with Duren comes in. Jalen Duren now.
What a surprise that was.
New York Knicks.
We was getting grief for not getting enough for trading Jeremy Grant. He takes that first-round pick and he flips it into the number 13 overall and gets another NBA player.
Unbelievable. Athletic, big, 6'11", 250, but super athletic, young kid that, I tell you, trading Troy Weaver is—he absolutely is putting it all together here for this Piston team. And again, that tutelage that he learned in Oklahoma City was just really paying huge dividends for this Detroit Pistons team right now. It's been so awesome to see as JC is calling a special guest here right now.
Yeah.
This guy's going to have fun.
This should be a lot of fun, guys.
Three ringy dingies.
Hello.
Would this be George Blaha?
You got him.
George, we are live on the radio. Thank you, sir. Big Gator bringing me some wings. And we've got the first person I thought about last night after all the goings-on was George Blaha. George, first and foremost, how are you feeling?
Great, thanks. Just got in from a walk. They want you to walk all the time if you have this kind of surgery.
Well, that's the most important news, to have you back on the mend. But a night like last night has got to make you so eager to get back behind the mic for Detroit Pistons basketball.
I'm real happy for Troy Weaver. From a personal standpoint, I'm happiest for Jaden Ivey and his family because, as you know, my man James Hunter, who we lost a few years ago, was his grandfather and a dear friend of mine. And, you know, his grandmother Peanut, we keep in touch with. And it's just a neat family thing that he's going to play in Detroit.
Oh, no doubt. You know, I played rec ball with James for, I think, 6 years on our Mick Light team. And the first year we went all the way to the rec finals and then got murdered by Joel Thompson and a whole bunch of guys from Ann Arbor. But, James was a pretty good baller himself, although he took way too many jump shots that were nowhere near the rim.
Well, he was a freakish athlete on the football field, that's for sure. I once asked Joe Dumars, who grew up down near where Grambling was, I said, what position did James play in college? He said, anywhere they needed him.
Yeah.
Anywhere they needed him. He was a great guy. I really miss him.
No, I know how tight you were. You know, the memorial that you put on for him after his sudden passing was amazing, and he's still missed by so many guys today. But, yeah, it was just nice to see, you know, the whole family thing. He would be well, the first thing, George, I know he would have come over with a cigar for you.
Oh, yeah, he'd have been on cloud nine, that's for sure. And I'm really, really happy for Jaden. I think he really wanted to be in Detroit. We do a memorial golf thing to honor James every August, and Jaden was there last year. And he didn't look like a football player. He looked like a basketball player. He's lean and mean.
Right. Hey, George, Rich Calkins here. And touching upon that again, absolutely, back-to-back years now, Cade Cunningham, now Jaden Ivey, kids that want to be in Detroit, be there and help build something special. Things are really turning around in Detroit for this Piston team.
I really believe so, and I think Troy Weaver was very interested in getting Jaden Ivey, and of course, Sacramento helped by going with Keegan Murray instead of him, and then they were able to parlay that Jeremy Grant trade into Milwaukee's number one choice in 25, and that was a big part of getting the big kid from Memphis, Jalen Durham, who's 6'10", I think, at about 245.
Yeah.
So interesting guy who can block shots, and he's maybe a project of sorts, but I don't think you're going to run out and try to sign a free agent center right now. I might be surprised, but I doubt it.
Well, yeah, no, we had that discussion before we went on the air today, George, and yeah, a couple things at play here. I saw that kid play in Memphis a couple times.
I did too. Yes,
and he is a really good defensive player. I don't know where his offensive game will evolve. But one of the really cool things was is talking about what Rich, echoing what Rich said, Jaden Ivey did not send his medicals to Portland. You know, he really was focused on playing in Detroit, and I don't know how much of that influenced what happened by the Trailblazers ended up taking Keegan Murray, who's a great basketball player. I think the Pistons probably would have taken him hadn't Ivy fallen there, but I really wanted Ivy, and it's going to be exciting. Those two together, Cade and Ivy, could be dynamic for a long time.
Absolutely. And I don't watch a ton of college basketball, but, you know, you pay attention to people you know and care about, and I saw Jaden play enough to know that if you're worried about whether he'll pass the ball, you're wrong. A couple games I saw, I was hoping he'd do more with his own offense rather than set up other people. So, and he's a freakish athlete. A couple of baseline drives I saw would make almost anybody proud who's ever played this game.
Well, his mom's a coach.
Yeah.
You know, it's a new world order. Mm. You used to want to have kids whose dads were coaches who coached him. Well, his mom coached him. She must be pretty good because she's got the job at Notre Dame. Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, you know, let's talk about that for just a second. I think Wednesday was the 50th anniversary of Title IX, the 50th anniversary.
Yeah, right.
And last night was kind of mom's night. Two of the first five players were coaches' kids, and it was their moms who were the coaches. Moms got a lot of attention last night in a really cool way. And it's because of Title IX and the opportunities that young women have had over the last 50 years who are starting to pay dividends now. They're raising sons who are going to the NBA.
Oh, it's well said.
I mean, I think that's very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
No doubt about it. And, Troy Weaver, people are so upset.
Trayton Troy.
No, I mean, the Knicks kind of just gave up.
Yeah.
They were the linchpin in this deal.
Right.
And for draft picks that are unconditional, I don't know what the Knicks are doing. I don't care. I don't know if this can bring the Pistons into the playoffs year one, George, but it's sure as hell going to be interesting. The season ticket department, I think, is going to be a little busy at Little Caesars Arena this week.
I agree. And you know what? I think you have to start this season with hopes of playing in the postseason, and especially with this play-in situation they have now. I think they got a legitimate shot. And don't forget, they got themselves a bunch of free agent money
yep.
that they can spend. If they do it judiciously and make good choices, they could become even better.
Yeah, we were talking about that, and, you know, I don't know if the market fits what their needs are. It's going to be interesting. I don't even know if the Pistons really know what their needs are going to be with this team on the floor. You know, Sadiq Bey turning into a really good player. I think with Ivy coming in, you know, Killian Hayes will be the third guard. I don't know if they'll get a kind of triumvirate like we had back in the glory days with Vinny, Joe, and Isaiah. You know, you can all hope about that. So, you know, George, you've been following the Pistons as long as I have, and this is it kind of reminds me a little bit about when they got Isaiah and then Trpiuka in that same draft, and things
sure.
just kind of got built.
Well, that was Jack McCloskey putting that team together, who was, you know, one of the great general managers ever. And later on, Joe Dumars put a great group together.
Yep.
And now it's Troy Weaver's turn, and he's really done a nice job. I mean, he doesn't get too many headlines, and I don't think he wants too many headlines, but he has done a nice job. And to be able to find a way to get those two players, the players he wanted most in the draft,
yeah.
I applaud him. And I think Jeremy Grant was a great find by Troy. Don't forget, he signed him. He wouldn't have that trade chip if he hadn't taken a chance on him. And he was convinced that Jeremy was a rock-solid NBA player, which he is, and he'll help Portland. But yeah. I like what the Pistons did.
Yeah, George, absolutely. And thinking about when Troy Weaver took this team over, when the Pistons were basically in cap hell and all of that, and now they're a team sitting there with some of the most money of all the NBA teams. He's in adding talent at the same time. So Troy Weaver has done an amazing job.
I agree. And when you have all that cap space, even if it's not a great year for free agents in the areas where you need help, you'll find some help. I mean, there are good players who can come off your bench. You know, when I think about Corey Joseph, almost nobody paid much attention to him other than the people who paid attention to the Spurs when they won championships and the Raptors, because he's a reserve. But there are reserves who play well every night. And you get a few more guys like that, it'll really help you.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the guys that are available. I know that DeAndre Ayton's name has been punched around a little bit. I don't
sure.
know if he's a fit now with what they did with the kid from Memphis and Marvin Bagley. It'll be interesting to see how Bagley fits into this group. I thought he was an incredible pickup for the...
I agree.
You know, P.J. Tucker's at the end of his career. He's a free agent. He might be a good veteran fit on this club because he plays defense, and he's a great team player. I think it starts Tuesday.
Real soon here. Yeah, Miles Bridges is a restricted free agent, I believe, a former Spartan there, George.
Oh, yeah. And he's a very good young player.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have to look at him and decide if he fits, and if he fits long-term for huge money, because he's going to get big money.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Blake Griffin's an unrestricted agent.
By the way, P.J. Tucker can make corner threes. We know that, too.
Yeah. No, I kind
of
like
the best
him
of them.
Because it's so young, you need to bring in, the veteran presence. That, you know, before the deals happen, when they shipped Jeremy on Wednesday, I'm like, you know, I don't know if I'm crazy mm-hmm. about this deal because he's an Olympic player,
mm-hmm.
an NBA All-Star, and you got a lot of young kids. But, you know, obviously Troy knows a hell of a lot more than I do.
Well, as it turned out, this move made it possible to make the next move and the next move.
Right.
And I suppose there has to be a little bit of luck involved. But at the end of the day, I believe he was pretty certain that he could get who he wanted. Now, you know, I think the Sacramento Kings are kind of a wild and crazy organization. So I don't know who knew who they were going to pick. That's the problem. I know Jaden Ivey did not want to play there. He made that known.
Right.
And thank God they didn't take him.
Has he stopped crying yet?
Stop it.
That was not seriously. That was real emotion.
Oh God, yeah.
And that
for
was
sure.
That was pretty compelling TV last night. Kid couldn't even talk. He was that. I mean, he started as soon as the Keegan Murray got drafted fourth overall. He said, "I'm going to Detroit," and that's when he lost it.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, his grandma's there, and he's going to love being there. That's for sure.
Yep.
Oh, no doubt. I they're going to love the way. Look, Piston fans are going to love the way this kid plays. Yep. He's modeled his game after Ja Morant, and quite frankly. The skill set, he's a better shooter than Ja Morant.
And he's bigger.
He's bigger.
Yep.
And, you know, and Ja's biggest knock is he doesn't play defense. You know, when you play for Matt Painter at Purdue, you got to play some defense. And, you know, and as his mom with a coach and Painter in his background, you know, I can't think of I was hoping that's the way it would turn out. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
his dad's a football player who had a little time with Baltimore in the league, and was an excellent receiver at Notre Dame. So, Javon Hunter. So, it's not like he's going to shy away from contact.
Yeah, you know, Rich and I were talking off air. They haven't really talked too much about Javon. You know, I remember meeting him as a young man, and I don't know what he's up to now. You probably know that a little bit better since you're still in touch with his mom.
Yeah. Well, he had a chance to go into coaching, and people were interested in him, but he wanted to go into the business world, and I think he's with Amazon.
Oh, okay.
And he works a lot of hours, but he'd work a lot of hours as a coach, too.
Yeah.
I just try to convince him those guys in the football building that I've known over the years at Michigan State all love what they do. And, you know, when you work all week to get ready for a game, and then you play the game, and good things happen, bad things happen, so-so things happen, and you go back to the office on Sunday and try to fix it and move on. I think those guys have great camaraderie as coaches, but it is a grueling business. And as a coach, you're only as secure as the head coach. And in this case, you know, if you work for a guy like Nick Saban, you're always got a job. But if you work for some other people, who knows?
Well, I guess we can't get out of here, right, Keith, without asking about
Spartans? Thank you. Yeah. George, you mentioned Michigan State football. Let's talk about that a little bit. Mel Tucker's getting a lot of praise around the country for what he's doing on the recruiting trail and so on. Give us your analysis of what we can look forward to this fall.
Well, first of all, he has an excellent passing combination returning. You know, not only are they good and they have chemistry, but they're now very experienced, Peyton Thorne and Jaden Reed.
Right.
They've got to find, you know, a new Kenneth Walker. And, you know, when you talk about the 11 wins last year, there were a lot of people that had a lot to do with that, but Kenneth Walker probably had the most to do with it. So they're going to have to ramp up a little bit in the passing game, even though the passing game was very good, because it's clear the running game can't be quite as good as it was last year. But they got Broussard from Colorado and another young man they're going to be fighting for this job. So I think they'll be at least adequate at running back and probably better than that. And the way this guy coaches, when he first got there, he told these kids, hey, I didn't recruit all of you, but I'll tell you this, if you love football, I'm going to like you. So that means if you don't love football, I might not like you. So these guys now know what's up when it comes to Mel Tucker. He's a tireless worker. He can relate to these kids. And I think when you're trying to hire somebody to replace the winningest coach in your program history, a guy won three Big Ten titles, you had to get somebody like this. Mel reminds, I think I told you guys this earlier, but he reminds me of Nick Saban. I worked with Nick for years, and there are a lot of similarities, a lot of similarities.
And, George, we're expecting you back in the booth for Falls in East Lansing?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yep. George, are you coming north for the Isabel River Canoe Marathon?
Well, I've got something to do with the Rocket Mortgage Classic that weekend at the golf club, but I'm working on that travel, and I think I'll make it because it would be sad not to be there.
Well, it would be sad not to have you there,
right,
George. But I know the Rocket Mortgage commitment is big, and
right.
And that tournament's going to need some help with what's going on with LIV and everything else. So
yeah, a whole other story. But you're right.
Yeah,
but I always look forward to the marathon weekend, and somehow I'm going to figure it out.
Well, we look forward to seeing you, George. And listen, keep putting those miles on, eh? Walk those miles, and I tell you, it's just wonderful to hear your voice.
Amen.
Thanks, fellas. Great being on with you.
Thanks so much for taking the time out, George. I'd love to ask you more questions about you and John Beilein, but that's another story. Let's see if we can get you back on in a couple of weeks.
I'd be happy to.
All right. That is the great George.
All right, fellas. Enjoy your summer.
Thank you so much, George. Fantastic man.
Oh, absolutely.
Even though he's the Spartan announcer.
Just
a class act.
And a Grayling, a local guy, Grayling guy.
No, but Rich is right. He is a class act. You know, I have seen him interact with so many different people in so many different circumstances. You see him at the canoe marathon. He always has a smile. And he gets your name right away. He's kind of like Arnold Palmer.
Oh, yeah.
Gracious with his time.
Right along with it. And, the great story, Rich, about when Grayling played basketball down there.
Right.
And, he was taking pictures with the kids and getting them out on the floor. And
hosted them up in one of the suites after the game and bought them pizza and all that. Yeah, just typical George Blaha, because he knows what it's like to grow up in small town Grayling, and just a cool, cool thing.
We're so lucky to have him.
Oh,
yeah, lucky.
No. I texted him this morning, and I'll tell you a couple of hound dog hunter stories. But we'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Face-Off, brought to us by FanDuel. You know, FanDuel, guys, the baseball season is here. It's in full swing. In fact, when the hockey season goes away, that's all we'll have for the next couple of months. So turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. By the way, I am 3 for 3 on home run bets in the last 3 days.
Good for you.
Whoa. And they pay very nicely. I had Aaron Judge two nights ago. Last night I had Giancarlo Stanton at +410. Hit a home run.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So, it's so much fun, and you can't do it unless you get on to FanDuel and step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up using the promo code WGRY, place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. I'm going to look at Anthony Rizzo for a home run tonight, because those Yankees are banging them.
They're taking turns.
They're playing the Astros, or maybe the Astros and the Yankees over, which I hit on last night as well.
All right, FanDuel has great promotions every day. The app is safe and secure, and you get paid fast. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook.
Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code WGRY to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. 21 and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio. Welcome back to Friday Face-Off on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne live in the studio. Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And Keith, is this the last night of the NHL season?
Well, it kind of feels that way, doesn't it? I mean, that overtime period the other night in game four was men against boys, really. It looked like the Lightning were really out of gas. Colorado just dominated the entire overtime.
We've seen this a couple times out of it. We talked about this in the series against the Hurricanes. It looked like they had hit the wall then.
Count them out at your own risk.
But Vasilevsky, not Vasilevsky, who's the forward?
McKinnon or Kucherov?
Kucherov.
Kucherov, yes, sir.
Yeah, that was a pretty dirty play.
Yeah, it was.
And then I can't remember who the Colorado player was that took him down in game three, but he hooked his knee with his own knee and made him do the splits.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't tell me that that was an accident.
No. And you can't convince us that Kucherov is 100% because he's not. At Braden Point, their most creative center, is out. So they're playing, you know, the playoffs in the NHL are a war of attrition. And they're, you know, listen. Colorado was missing one of their best forwards, Nazem Kadre, for 3-4 weeks with a needed surgery on his thumb. Came back, scores the winner
in overtime.
Listen, this finals has been a lot closer than it looks. I know Colorado's up 3-1. Each team has won a lopsided game.
Right.
The other two games have gone into overtime.
Right.
One ended early. One ended, you know, nearly halfway through. Colorado won both those overtime games. Listen, tonight is Colorado's best chance to close it out, I think. If they lose tonight and it goes back to Tampa, Tampa's going to be really hard to beat in Tampa. I think they'll win that game. Game 7 is a crapshoot. I'm rooting for that, of course. But, you know, Tampa hasn't played well at altitude in Denver. And that's why I think tonight is a really good shot at closing it out. I like the under like I liked the other night. But other than that, I don't know that I'd bet on either team tonight.
I mean, I've hit the overs in most of those games because most of the games have gone over.
But you kind of knew it was coming down, didn't you? Didn't you feel like it was coming down? You know, it was 3-2 the other night. I won the over. But
And we've been talking about it for the past couple of weeks, guys. The Lightning have played a lot of hockey.
Yeah,
to be back-to-back Stanley Cup champs, going for the third straight, all of that, and then playing at altitude, like you said, Keith, I think they're just worn out.
They're going to need a superhuman effort from Stamkos.
Who's
played great in these playoffs.
Yes, yes. And I think Vasilevskiy will continue to be Vasilevskiy. He's going to be tough to beat.
But when you put up the kind of traffic that Colorado does, I don't care how great of a goal you are, there's pucks coming at you from all over the place, and you can't stop what you can't see.
That's right. But you look at that first period the other night, you know, Tampa Bay outshot Colorado 17-4. But Colorado had nearly as many shots directed at them, but Tampa guys were getting in front of the puck. They blocked a ton of shots.
Yeah.
That's a will to win, and we saw that early. They couldn't sustain it into the overtime period. So it's still going to be tough to knock out the champs. Right now, the Colorado looks bigger, stronger, faster, and maybe a little deeper right
Younger.
Now. Younger for sure. Yeah.
A game 7 would be nice, but Colorado should not pass up this opportunity.
No, you're right. When you think about it, big picture, Tampa's got to win 3 games in a row to win, right? And that's an overwhelming task. You walk into the dressing room and you talk to the players, because I've done this. Man, how does it feel? You got to win 3 games to win this thing. He said, no. One of the players said, no, we have to win 1 game.
Yeah.
Right. And then we have to win 1 game.
Yeah.
And then we have to win 1 game. That's how players approach it, and they're right.
Yeah.
Is it just media blah about too many men on the ice?
I think so. You know, clearly there was too many men on the ice. Yeah. The final game summaries, they had listed 6 guys for Colorado because they were on the ice. But, listen, Tampa was gassed. They were in a poor line change to begin with.
They had 2 guys sitting on the boards trying to get in when 1 guy was coming out.
Correct.
Yeah. So
it was not a good change because they were so tired. And even Cooper, John Cooper, the coach afterward, the next day said, look,
it's an inexact science.
That's correct.
You know, it's an inexact science.
People want to jump all over the NHL officials. Not for that.
Right.
Not for that.
Because that's such a tough call. The guy's coming off the ice. The guy's coming on.
It happens all the time. They wave off goals all the time with it.
Yeah.
You know, I think NHL refs love waving off goals. They love being the guy that comes out there and, you know.
Listen, I felt it could have been easy to wave off the first goal scored 36 seconds into the first period when the goaltender's
mask
helmet came
off. Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, that's going to be, because if you look at the play as it developed, the stick actually got up into here and helped knock the mask off the goaltender, and he's scrambling around while the puck is 10 feet in front of him, and they wound up scoring. And I thought, for sure, no way. They're going to wave
right.
off.
Well, in game three, they waved off the first goal by Colorado and turned around. And you know,
in the goal there, he looked a little Terry Sawchuck out there without a mask playing for a second.
He kind of did, didn't he? Can you imagine?
Oh, I know.
Can you imagine standing 15 feet away with no mask and Bobby Hall's winding up?
No, I can't. It's like the old Alex Karras joke, you know, when Karras got into the booth for Monday Night Football, he got his start by doing Canadian football games, right? And I'll never forget, they were watching some punt return and the guy gets massacred, he put up his hand for a fair catch and he got hit anyways. And Karras goes, you know, in Canada, they don't have the fair catch. And Don Meredith's like, really? He goes, yeah, I don't know how they get the guys to do it. I think they get them drunk when they sign the contract.
A lot of Molsons before the game.
So, yeah, I never understood goalies with no face mask, but it was a different game back then. Just to wrap up our hockey conversation, Keith, a couple more coaches signed in the open positions in the NHL, yet still no word on the Red Wings. I think it's pointing out more and more that they're going to take the assistant coach from Tampa.
I think you're right, JC. That's certainly the way it's looking. And maybe next week at this time, because the playoffs are going to end, you know, before we meet again.
Sure.
Well, then we may be talking about a new coach in Detroit. And there are two assistants, both getting a lot of buzz in Tampa. Well, one guy is Derek Lalonde, probably the favorite, but the other guy, Jeff Halpern, who played in the NHL for about 14 years, and maybe knows this generation of players a little bit better, can relate to them a little bit better. Jeff Halpern is the other assistant. Both of those guys feel around the league like they're almost equal candidates to talk to Steve Yzerman about this opening in Detroit.
Yeah, briefly, JC, before I've seen a lot of Darren Helm out on the ice of the Avalanche there, former Red Wing. So.
He's playing very well for them. He scored a couple of big goals for them, and, you know,
steady
very well defensively.
He's
winning faceoffs, doing a lot of right things. Good to see that for Darren Helm, one of the really, really good guys from the Detroit Red Wings.
Back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Faceoff, brought to us by FanDuel.
I'm going after chicken bones.
Ask him to get out of here. Out.
He beat me to him.
Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel and Big Gator Wings. You haven't lived unless you've had Big Gator Wings. JC eating a couple of them today. And, guys, you know that Javier Baez had a pretty good week behind the plate.
Red hot.
And, you know, Riley Green has seemed to put a little bit of, look at it. They ran into a buzzsaw with the Boston Red Sox. You know, the Red Sox.
No question.
It's going to get interesting between the Red Sox and the Yankees. I really have a funny feeling of that, although, man, the Yankees are really turned into the Bronx Bombers.
They have. This is the modern-day version of the Bronx Bombers. There's no doubt about it.
So occasionally, Keith, it is not who you play, but when you play them.
Yeah.
You know, when they played the Red Sox earlier in the year, this was, you know, they took two out of three from them.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the same Red Sox baseball team. You know, the pitching has not been as good as it has been. You know, Tarek Skubal now three
in a row.
Four outings.
Alex Viedo a couple, Bo Brisky a couple. You know, the young arms who got off to such a good start this season, all struggling now.
I think it's scouting. We've talked about this before, you know.
You know,
these guys a couple times now, the pitching coaches for the other squads are looking at Chris Federer's notes, who's not leaving the Tigers, by the way. Did you see that?
I see that. That's good
news
for the Tigers that he's
no
out
doubt
of the running for the – did Michigan hire a coach? Or
No, he just said he took himself out of the job search.
Good.
Yep. Took his hat out of the ring.
I bet the Tigers probably sweeten the deal to keep him.
Well, we will see.
I think, too, some now these young guys that are pitching for the Tigers now they need to make more adjustments now.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, guys, it's a constant game of adjustments, whether hitting, pitching, whatever. The same things that you got success with a couple weeks ago may not be working now, so you got to refine and change some things up all the time.
And, JC, you mentioned Javier Baez. It's good to see. And his numbers since June 1st, or June 1st, yeah. His swing and miss ratio has gone way down.
Yeah.
And that's really good to see because, my God, he was really hard to watch.
Well, I think A.J. Hinch really went out of the way. You know, look at this guy is in the film room looking at film all the time. This guy is a great baseball player, and he's going to get it figured out.
What I loved about him during when he was struggling and you started to hear the boos at Comerica and all that stuff, he kept his mouth shut. He just said, you know, he went back to work, like you said, J.C., and now he's hitting well. Knock on some wood here that he keeps it up because God knows we need that bat in the lineup.
Oh, yeah. He's had a couple of home runs now.
Yeah.
Grossman's hit a couple of home runs. I'd like to see Meadows get his back.
Right.
Because all of a sudden, Isaac Paradisi's down in Tampa is on a tear, the guy they traded.
Isaac Paredes? Yeah. He had, what, 3 home runs in 1 game. Then he comes to bat in the next game, hits a home run there. 4 at-bats in a row where he hit a home run. All against the Yankees, by the way, and that's like some type of new record.
Wow.
You hear that, you hear about other ex-Tigers doing well, Adames and all that.
Well, Willie Adames is
Jose Iglesias.
Jose Iglesias.
Stop with
magic.
Jose Iglesias.
Hitting over 300.
Are you contractually obligated to mention Jose Iglesias?
Sorry. I love the way that kid played shortstop, and he's hitting better than
Uncle Keith. I did like him, too.
Joe Church.
He got into something, though, with the Tigers catcher his last year.
Yeah.
Do you remember what that was about? He's playing for the Mets, the catcher.
I do not. But,
That was something. I never understood what that was all about.
Well, they have 3 with the Diamondbacks tonight. And so, you know, it would be nice to get 2 out of 3. They're going to play the San Francisco Giants after that, who are kind of ailing right now. Giants have got 3 everyday players that are on the IL right now. They just got swept by the Braves. I keep a tab on the Giants. So they might get a break of when they play them, but then they turn around and they play everybody in the Central Division.
Yeah.
So,
they got to make hay.
Indians, I made a lot of money on that Twins game yesterday because the Indians took the first 2 from the Twins. Got into first place, and I'm like, Twins are winning tonight.
Yeah.
And they did yesterday. They beat them 1-0. So I had them in a parlay on my FanDuel account.
Way to go.
Baseball been very, very good to me.
Well, not so much for the Tigers. And I still want to be hopeful. It's getting harder and harder. They're 17 games under 500 now. They've lost 9 of their last 11 after that pretty good stretch there. And what worries me is
that's the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Their run differential is minus 100 right now. They've scored 100 fewer runs than they've scored. And only Oakland at 106 and Washington at 113 have worse than Detroit right now. They've got to get the bats going. When you get the bats going, I think the pitching will improve.
Oh.
I think it's demoralizing to the pitching staff.
Oh, when you know, and again, you're putting all this pressure on these young pitchers that a lot of them weren't expected to be pitching in the big, Bo Brisky, and guys like, no one really thought Bo Brisky would be pitching in the bigs right now.
That's right.
Or anything. And like you said, you have to be almost perfect in your pitching. That does put a lot of stress on you where you try to get too perfect with your pitches, you end up grooving one, and they're hitting home runs again.
You got to allow 1 run or less to win. They played 69 games, I think, and more than half of them they scored 2 runs or fewer.
Exactly.
That's tough.
Think of what it would be like to be a pitcher on the Yankees right now.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, you could just basically, it's slow pitch softball out there because it's just, I mean, they're going to score runs.
Well, it's a good series right now. They're playing the Astros.
That'll be a really good one.
Yeah, they won. It's the first come-from-behind victory that the Yankees had all year. That's how little they've been behind.
Right.
So,
yeah,
but, the numbers within the numbers.
Cleveland, who is, basically in a flat-footed tie with the Twins, they got the Red Sox, so good luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
The Tigers have not, they haven't done themselves very many favors with the bats, but the bats have got to heat up for sure. But we still have, 90 games left, 89 games left in the season.
Yeah. And the White Sox just aren't doing much. And again, they lost their infielder Mendon to a torn ACL the other day.
Yeah.
So they're going through the injury bug now as well.
The Tigers are plus 140 tonight. The over and under is over 8.5. Bet the under.
And this is down at Comerica?
No, this is at Arizona.
Oh, it is at Arizona, yeah. So it's a late night.
Yeah, late night game. 9:41 is when they start them up. So Tigers, not too late.
Tigers have 93 games left.
Yeah, okay.
93.
Right,
yep,
yeah.
Yep.
So
no, plenty of time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But they got to start
off.
Soon.
No.
Start soon.
We got a month before Hard Knocks starts. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, the NHL season is going away.
Yeah, I know.
And you guys don't even follow golf. So you are screwed and tattooed.
But golf is getting more and more interesting all the time.
Oh, yes, it is.
I tell you.
Well, you know, we may mention them. We'll have a grab bag of items to talk about in our last segment. But like I said, you know, I've got my FanDuel app open and I'm looking at the baseball games and there's just so much to bet on. You can turn K's into cash, big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook right now. New customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. I wish I could do that. Just sign up using the promo code WGRY, place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. So let's just take one real quick look, guys, at the Yankees, because I've been, you know, I know how much you love them, Keith.
Yeah.
But, you know, they are hitting a ton of home runs, and the Yankees are the number one home running hitting team in baseball, and they're playing the number three home run hitting team in baseball. What the over and under is 7.5 tonight in that game.
Oh, my. Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But Verlander's going against Severino.
I bet the under then.
Verlander versus Severino. Verlander is in New York.
Yeah.
He's never pitched very great in
but,
the Bronx.
But he's had a great season thus far.
Yeah. He's having a great year. Right now, Aaron Judge is plus 245 to hit a home run tonight. Jordan Alvarez, who's the big bomber for the Astros, is plus 270. Rizzo is at plus 430. I like that bet.
Yeah.
And if you don't win, you get up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. FanDuel has great promotions every day, and the app is safe and secure, and you get paid fast. Take a look.
Yeah. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sports book. Download the FanDuel Sports app and sign up using promo code WGRY to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000.
21 and over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Ain't no flippin' problem when you win as much as I do.
Woo!
Welcome back to Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne live in the studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. Guys, we will talk way more in depth on this topic on finding fairways. But, you know, the U.S. Open was fantastic. I don't know if you guys watched it.
Oh, phenomenal.
I watched.
And the whole story afterwards, this is the best thing for golf. Golf really needed this. And then Brooks Koepka and Abraham Answer go the next day onto the LIV Tour. So the LIV Tour story will not go away. And then Jay Monahan comes out and basically surrender Dorothy's. You know, if it's just a money game,
we
I don't
can't
know how.
Compete.
That's scary.
Scary.
Well, it is. It's going to be – there's a lot of things at play, and I don't want to drown out a lot of people into the minutia. But the next thing that the LIV Tour's got to do is get the tournaments recognized for world golf points, because what the PGA Tour and the DP Tour, which is the European Tour, who now have a strategic alliance, the DP Tour banned every LIV player from the Scottish Open, which is the biggest money tournament on that tour, which is the week before the British Open.
These are wartime alliances.
Oh, it
man.
Is.
No shit.
Wow.
but they can play in the British Open.
Yeah, in the Open Championship,
the original,
which
the
is
Open.
Happening at the home of golf this year,
St. Andrews.
So, if they can't, if the I don't know who the organization is. I'm going to have to look that up. That issues the world golf points. the guys that are playing on that tour are going to quickly fall out of the rankings because
right.
they won't the points won't be recognized.
Right. Right.
So that's going to be one of the other shoes that drop.
They had to hear rumors that this was starting up, and it's kind of like they've caught there have been flat-footed Jay Monahan.
No, no, not at all. That's where they came up with this alliance with the DP.
Okay, yep. But it's just like it seems like he's shocked at the number and the amount of players that are flipped over a little bit.
Well,
because he's angry. Every one of his press conferences, he's really upset.
Well, yeah,
and you can understand it, obviously.
I mean, some of these guys said they wouldn't. Dustin Johnson said they wouldn't, and he did. Brooks Koepka said he wouldn't, and they did.
And he did.
So, and Rory keeps bringing this up now.
Oh, he does. Seems to be the spokesperson now for the PGA.
Well, the thing is now, obviously, Rory has painted himself in the corner not being able to play in the LIV Tour.
Yeah.
So, and then, McIlroy had a pretty good U.S. Open, couldn't, you know... The weather on Saturday, the course conditions on Saturday were brutal.
The wind, and it was
nuts.
I enjoy watching golf when it kind of makes those golfers who are so great, making them a little more human, you know. That it's kind of fun for me.
Well, that's always the U.S. Open, though. Yeah. It is the toughest of all the tournaments. And then McIlroy opens up the tournament yesterday with a 63.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's playing some great golf
right now. Very, very good golf.
But it all goes back to sponsor support. And we just mentioned briefly with George, right,
mm-hmm.
The roster of stars for the Rocket Mortgage is not very good.
Yeah.
The big stars don't play in some of these events.
Right.
And when you have lesser – I mean, Dustin Johnson was, the biggest name that's played in the Rocket Mortgage Classic because he was aligned with them.
Right.
Lost it, he's not going to be there.
It's, right.
You know, so – the television ratings go down,
yeah.
and the fan turnout is not as good, and this is the issue at
no
play.
No Mickelson, no Bryson DeChambeau, no guys like that did come to the Rocket Mortgage Classic before. And, absolutely. This has got to have a lot of these tournament directors and all that scared. Because of, like you said, the ratings are going to go down. There's no doubt about it.
This has been an issue for the PGA Tour for a while. And a couple years ago, they said, if you haven't played particular events on your schedule in a four-year period, then you have to add some of them. So, the lesser tournaments, Buick Open was always like that.
Right.
That's the reason why Buick signed the deal with Tiger Woods so he would play in that tournament.
Right. Yes.
Right.
But Will Zalatoris and Tony Finau are playing, Justin Rose and Jason Day, Matt Kuchar. But, I mean, no Scottie Scheffler, no Rory McIlroy. They're lucky to get Zalatoris.
I was going to say, and Zalatoris, man, I tell you, he's been knocking on the door for a major here and just can't kind of get over that hump just yet.
Guys, I wanted to mention this to you. I don't know if you've seen it or not. If you haven't, you got to go online and pick it up. But there was a story on ESPN a couple nights ago. About a book that's a year of playing catch. Have you seen this?
Oh,
my God.
Oh.
I cried my eyes out.
For
it's an incredible story. This guy lost his son, who was a baseball player, in a car accident at age 16.
Oh.
And he was just lost.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so heart-wrenching. And then somebody told him about a book that this guy wrote called A Year of Playing Catch. And so this guy, the dad, went out and started doing it and ran into all these people. And so he plays catch every day with somebody new.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And it's such an incredible
story. I know about the book.
Yeah.
Well, there's some guys doing it.
Yeah.
Who lost his son. And then there was the other dad who reached out to him. Whose daughter was killed.
Yeah.
It's just...
And they didn't know that beforehand. Yeah. They were on vacation, sitting around the pool, and all of a sudden the guy said, I'll play catch with you. And they start talking, and lo and behold, why are you doing this? And this guy says, I lost my daughter. And so it's just like all of a sudden now they have this bond.
And all these people have their story, and he does it in parking lots.
Anywhere and everywhere, including near the son's gravesite with the one girl who was a cousin who wanted to do it near this kid, and yeah, oh my gosh,
it's
emotional.
It is. It's super emotional. So, if you don't want to have if you need to feel the urge to cry a little bit, I tell you to go over.
This will get you over the hump.
Yeah. It's not just about the crying, although I know I would do that too, but it's just the memories that it brings up. I mean, absolutely. The moment at the end of Field of Dreams where
you want to have a catch.
I mean, I lose it every single
time. Yeah, I mean, part of me wants to see if I can get that author on, because I want to take a look at what that book is all about.
Yes.
Sure.
Doing something for a year like that, it can be, you know, totally transformative, whether, you know, you stop drinking or stop smoking or do those things, and trying to be able to come to grips with such an epic tragedy I can't imagine. I know you're blessed every day that you're above, you know, your kids are above ground before you go in.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Yeah.
So I sometimes sports, you know, Keith, that's why we love it more than anything
Is
the hugs that we saw last night.
The emotion. Emotion. Yes, yes, yes. That's the good stuff, man.
It is, absolutely.
Hey, you'll be so some listener came in yesterday. He'd collected some swag that he'd won, and he was telling me he just bought your book. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
great.
The guy. That's the guy. He's the guy.
He's the one. No, okay.
You get his name so I can send him a thank you note. Hey, just one quick minute, because I would look forward to this all morning. We didn't really get to the nuts and bolts. A very quick analysis, JC, from you about these two new guys that the Pistons drafted. What's the rotation going to look like with the Pistons?
Well, it'll be Ivy and Cade, sure.
Yes.
Starting guards,
but
yeah.
I don't think that Duren will be in the starting lineup.
Marvin Bagley first.
Yeah, Bagley and Sadiq Bey.
Yeah.
And that's the other piece. You know, that's why I said, like, a Rodman type, a guy that can defend and get rebounds and everything else, but I don't really like, that's why I like P.J. Tucker, but Tucker is, I think he's 36 or 37 years old, Rich.
Right.
So you'd only be counting on him for about 20 minutes.
Right. And a lot of mileage on those.
A lot of, you know, he helped out the Heat.
Oh, he did. Absolutely.
Look, the Bucks missed him.
He's one of those glue guys that just kind of makes everyone better, the consummate team player.
You know, like I said, Rich and I will probably be texting over the next few days. What about him?
Right.
What about
him? What do you think about this guy?
Well, I'm excited about this business coming up. I'm really excited.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We've been updating about the Sable River Canoe Marathon. Guys, we wondered what was taking so long about the entries, blah, blah, blah. Up to 93 teams now.
There we go.
Are they going to cap it?
I've not heard of a cap. 95 is the most back in 2016 that they had.
Well, almost certainly
it's going to
go
over.
That.
Yep. What's the FanDuel thing on the Sable River?
I'm sorry, they don't have it, Rich.
Okay, I know.
I know you love the
97 and a half.
But and the teams that are coming together are amazing. The Wakely Mearsman, Mike Davis, who won out at New York, is paddling with Ryan Zavril from a New York kid. Steve Lajoie.
So he's not going to paddle with his wife.
No, he's not. Exactly.
Wow.
She's paddling. His wife is paddling with her mother. So
Roxanne
Barton, who is a phenomenal paddler, by the way. Logan and Kyle Miner from Texas. They're a top five team. Christoph Prue, two-time winner with Kyle Stonehouse. How about Chris Isendorf, who took third last year? Pairing up with Brett Stockton, nine-time winner.
Wow. Yeah, so Stockton entered the race. He'd been off for a long time.
Yeah, long time, like 20-some years.
Yeah, he's in his 60s now.
He's 59, because he's 1 year younger than I am. And
is Jeff Kolka going to
paddle
again?
Nope, I talked to – Jeff has taken up the game of golf.
Uh-oh.
So that's Big Gator's problem. Big Gator is responsible for that.
And Jeff's not going to just take that. He's going – I mean, he's playing in league. He's doing it all. He's going full bore. Doesn't do anything half-hearted.
I will tab him, and we'll get him out on Shanty Creek or one of the other great golf courses.
Oh, he'd love
it. Yeah. Excellent.
So I didn't know that.
One last thing. Even if the Stanley Cup Finals ends tonight, which I hope it won't, there's going to be hockey on Sunday for everybody, especially in our neighborhood. 1 o'clock on ESPN, their 30 for 30 documentary, Unrivaled, about the greatest rivalry that I've ever been around, and that's Detroit and the Colorado Avalanche. A whole documentary about that, and it's going to be fun. I was part of it. I can tell you that it was a rivalry at every level, even in the press box. We didn't like the reporters. They didn't like us. We were a little snobby. We just had a 61-game season, right? They got a brand-new team out there with a bunch of yokels who don't know hockey.
Right.
And it was kind of ugly. It was fun.
I don't know. I can't wait to see it. You know how well I know Draper and McCarty and some of the other guys. But nothing could touch the rivalry between the Canadians and the Wings in the 50s.
Oh, your original six rivalries.
I remember talking to Ted Lindsay, right. And they would take the train back and forth. They'd both be on the same train,
right.
And they would stop the train so the Wings could walk around the Montreal Canadiens' car to get to the food thing, because when they didn't, they're just fighting and walking
through the car to the food line.
There would be a race to the train to get to the best spot closest to the club car.
Yeah, and then you were the other team that wasn't this, screwed.
That's right.
Yeah, no,
that's
just
right.
Just amazing stuff. That's what they should do a documentary on before every one of those guys die.
You're right about that. You're right. That's,
I mean, you think about. Ted Lindsay just passed away, right?
Yeah,
I don't know who's left from those 50 teams in the Red Wings. Not so many. So,
if ESPN was doing it right, they would start with at least a few snippets like that to go back and give you history of some of the great rivalries of the sport.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt. You know, even for years after, when the teams weren't relevant, you know, after they had the glory years, there was still all that vile and bad blood. It's kind of gone away now, but let's get the Wings back being good.
Yeah.
And then
you see the teams come out skating around, and they're happy, and they're at the center red line, and they're stretching, and they're talking to one another.
Yep.
And
they're
are
all
you
friends
kidding
now.
Me? Yep. Wait till these kids who are playing today see this documentary.
We talked about Claude Lemieux and Darren doing a fundraiser together. So
I've seen the photo of them. Like,
everybody has their price, Rich. IV tour to Claude Lemieux saying in public, I'm a turtle.
Yeah.
Speaking of that idiot, you know Claude Lemieux is the agent for Maurice Seider, who won Rookie of the Year.
Oh, he is?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know.
Oh. Getting the hell out of here.
Congrats to Maurice Seider.
Thanks so much for joining us here on Up North Sports Radio Friday's Face Off, brought to us by FanDuel, and tune in tomorrow morning at 9:00 for Finding Fairways. You'll find out a little bit more about the game of golf than you knew before.